Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, too.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Ooh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University Beers with the Brewers.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of Land Grant University Presents Beers with the Brewers. I'm Adam, one of the owners here at Land Grant. Joining me this week, we have Justin.
Saw, dude.
We got Dan.
Not Chris.
Not Chris. We got Mark.
I am also not Chris.
And
Walt.
Hey, y'all.
We're fresh back from the Craft Brewers Conference in Nashville. Missed an episode last week. We're going to have a bonus two episodes this week. We're going to be talking about our brand new Imperial IPA CMYK in this episode. And the next episode, we'll be talking about the new India Pale Ale Tennis.
Ooh.
So, we are talking about the new Imperial IPA CMYK. This, we call it a resinous, it's tropical melon flavor, herbal, floral, and light-bodied. So, suggested food pairings, a Jamaican jerk chicken taco, or citrus carne asada chili.
Rife with alliteration there.
That's what I was going for. I'm putting my English degree to good use here.
That's
no vegetarian options this week.
Only meat today.
Cheese pizza?
Well, I mean, yeah, you could. I mean, it is canned beer, so you could have it in a. You could have it at home with a cheese pizza.
You could.
If like, you want, so.
I was always a proponent of buttered bread with a slice of like a Kraft single in between. That would probably pair pretty well with this as well.
Well,
yeah, for you vegetarians nice out there, I had one last night in a can with a cheese pizza.
Wow. Well, thanks, Mark, for that. So, upcoming events here at Land Grant. We've been talking about a couple of these for quite a while, so we're excited this Sunday, May 13th, which is Mother's Day. Come on down to Land Grant University Presents Hops 101. So our second installment of our Land Grant University series down at the tap room. It is going to be a closed session, so make sure you head on to landgrantbrewing.com/LGU to get your tickets. Only a few tickets left, so act quickly.
Yeah, and I want to add that I just got the proof back from the printer on the textbook for the class, and they look really sharp, and this is your one and only chance to get your hands on one of those.
Award-winning textbook. Walt did win a Hermes. Hermes? I think it's Hermes.
Hermes? Yeah, but yeah, if you sign up, you'll get one of these slick little notebook/textbooks, as well as a Land Grant University branded pint glass. So, you know, if that's not incentive enough,
you can come and learn about hops.
You can come learn about beer and drink beer and talk to our fine brewers and have a good time on Mother's Day. Mom would love it. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, mom would love it.
Yeah, my mom's not coming either.
Yeah,
some moms will love
some
it.
Some moms. Anyway,
well, even if mom doesn't love beer, I mean, she loves a free pint glass, so.
That's true.
And your mom loves to hear you talk, Justin.
She does.
Yeah.
She does. She'll be tuning in this evening.
Well, hi, Justin's mom.
Hey, Justin's mom.
Hi, mom.
We've been talking about this one probably the longest, the Royal Pool Party on May 19th, Saturday, May 19th. I know some additional details were confirmed here recently. There will be a dunk tank. There will be a bunch of different types of pools.
There will be a unicorn-shaped water fountain.
Oh, it's going to make it.
It's here.
It's here.
It's under my desk right now, waiting to be inflated.
I honestly thought that like shed that we have out there, that like storage box, I thought that was for the unicorn.
That's the stable.
Really excited.
It's a real unicorn.
It is.
It is currently living in a locked shed.
Did you think they're just going to unleash it? It would just like burst forth from the shed.
Hose water will just start shooting from its horn.
Walt's going out there with cupcakes every other hour.
Feeding the unicorn.
Because that's what they eat, as we know.
Well, but real talk, there will be a lot of fun water features. There will be lots of beer. Pool Party Pilsner will be available.
Yeah.
We got a great music lineup. There's a dunk tank with a dunk tank schedule coming up soon. So check it out and decide who you want to come spend $5 to soak. And
you get a preview of the beer garden that we've been A lot of folks here at Land Grant have been diligently building fences, digging post holes, just being outside, having a good time.
Fun stuff.
Come on out, check out those events, check out Land Grant, or check out our Facebook page or landgrantbrewing.com for more event details, but definitely more coming down the pike. I know this is an episode about Imperial IPAs, which is our second or third. It's third one, I think, so far.
Third episode that we've done so far. So we did on Imperial IPAs.
So not going to be much on history, but any new interesting tidbits?
New interesting tidbits,
yeah, that have come out on Imperial IPAs over the past three weeks.
3 weeks. I'm trying to think. You guys were at the Craft Brewers Conference.
You were learning all the stuff and
while we were here brewing tasty beverages.
We may have had some IPAs last week.
One or two, probably.
May have had some double and Imperial IPA.
Shout out to the Bearded Iris down there in Nashville. We drank a lot of their beer, and it was delicious.
I'll have to say, on the IPA spectrum, Bearded Iris, give them thumbs up. Pretty solid spot.
Thumbs up is on a spectrum?
Yes.
Isn't that binary by definition?
Not anymore.
All right. So
we're mixing it up.
So we were down in Nashville last week, and one of the most interesting talks at the Craft Brewers Conference is the state of the industry that Dr. Bart Watson, the chief economist, and Paul Gotza, the director of the BA, talks about different trends going on in our industry. And one of the things they pointed out that we've talked about a lot is that IPA is still on top. And isn't going anywhere, that 75% of all growth in craft last year was in the IPA, double IPA, session IPA, fruited IPA, or American Pale Ale category. So definitely where it is at. The other interesting fact from that was the other 25%, the leading styles were blonde ale, cream ale, Kolsch, Pilsner, and wheat ale. So as IPA is still leading, the styles that are much lighter and have a lot more drinking occasions are on their way up. There's our tidbit of the day.
There you go.
Which works well for us because we like both of those. So
let's get into the nitty gritty of CMYK. So just listing off some of the stats for this beer. It is 8.5% alcohol. We're looking at about 75 IBUs. It definitely doesn't taste that bitter, though. Drinks pretty smooth. The hops that we used in it, the bittering hop was Warrior to give it like a little bit of a fruity backbone. And then we use Citra, Simcoe, a hop we have never used before, which is the Australian hop Ella. And then the predominant hop in this beer is going to be Mosaic. As far as the malts go, we tried to keep it pretty simple. We just used Bohemian Pilsner, Vienna malt, and dextrose.
So, Justin, why are we excited about this beer?
I was excited to brew this beer because how it was presented to us, we were asked to brew like a fruitier centric Imperial IPA, kind of along the lines of what Sundrip was. But we really wanted to emphasize Mosaic, which is a hop that we don't use a lot of around here. And I really enjoy that hop, but just because it's got such a wide variety of flavor and aroma that you get out of it, depending on what you pair it with.
So dank.
It can be dank. It can be very tropical. And I think both of those really come out in this beer. So yeah, that was really why I was most excited, being able to showcase that hop.
And I really wanted to use Ella.
Yeah. Well, we were scouring the interwebs looking for Australian or New Zealand hops. Predominantly, we were looking for Galaxy, which is pretty much impossible to find under $30 a pound at this point, which is incredibly expensive for a hop. But we ended up finding Ella at a great rate, and it's a really interesting hop.
It has some of those elements of Galaxy, but yeah, it's also has some noble characteristics as well.
And I think that's one of the, we'll talk about it a little bit more, like, or we can talk about it right now, just in the tasting notes for CMYK. It kind of runs the gambit of IPA flavor, where you're getting a lot of those like tropical, citrusy, dank flavors and aromas, but they're all paired with almost a like a German noble hop character, which doesn't sound like something that would work really well in an Imperial IPA, but that Ella kind of brings it out. It also, like, I found that Mosaic can sometimes have that kind of herbal tinge at the back end, and I think that Ella kind of emphasizes that.
I think it also keeps it from getting too sweet, because it's right. Not, you know, it's It doesn't have malt sweetness, obviously, because it's finished fairly dry. But it has hop sweetness because all of those characteristics you talk about, they, you know, hit your tongue and it says sweet.
Yep.
But this has, I know it says 75 IBUs, but I think compared to something like Batch 300, it's a little bit more reserved in terms of the bitterness.
Yeah.
So I like that little herbal tinge. I think it keeps it from going over the edge.
And I have, there are a lot of people that have described it as garlicky recently, which there is a tiny bit of that in there. I'm assuming it's from our Citra that we're getting that. It's not as predominant as I have heard, I guess. I don't know.
No, I'm not. I'm pretty susceptible to that. I know particularly a few years ago when Amarillo was not being left on the vine long enough.
Incredibly catty.
I mean, there is like some gym sock type stuff going on. There's certainly none of that here. This is incredibly smooth for a double.
I think it's real smooth. The hop flavor and aroma is definitely, like I said, all over the board. You can't pinpoint it. You can't be like, oh, this is a grapefruit IPA or this is a piney IPA. There's a lot going on in it. I don't know. I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that smoothness really leads to double IPAs when they are this smooth. You forget they're 8.5%. So on that crushability scale, what would you guys put it at?
I'd put it could be a 3, but better be a 2 unless you want to get in an argument when you get home.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. I was going to say 4, but that's way too much. So, yeah, I'll say 2.
Yeah, it could sneak up on you, so really respect the alcohol content in this one.
Yeah, I had a couple over the weekend, so I pull.
You had 4?
Yeah.
You had 2 couples over the weekend.
I'd go 2. For that reason, I think that's one of the ones that you have 2 of these at the tap room. You got to call it quits.
Yep.
And maybe call an Uber as well.
Yep.
It is the same thing with Batch 300, where you have 2 of them, and you're like, oh, wow, this is drinking incredibly easy, and you crack that 3rd can halfway through it. Like, that was a dumb idea.
Did not need another beer.
My cheeks are incredibly rosy right now.
And you also mentioned those complex flavors, which kind of leads to, I know we've talked about this on previous episodes, how do we come up with names? Do we have the beer first or the name and then the beer? This was definitely one that the beer was in the fermenter before the name was come up, but
yeah.
Walt came up with, I think, a really good name for what really this beer turned out to be.
And I tried my damnedest to make a name with the word umbrella, and it worked, because we were all excited about that Ella hop.
It was going to be our first Rihanna-themed Ella Imperial IPA.
Was that Rihanna right there?
She just walked through.
It sounded just like her.
But so.
Oh, bye, Rihanna.
She left, but that's okay. She'll be back, I'm sure.
She loves our beer.
Yeah, big fan, Rihanna. In here all the time in Columbus, Ohio. Tried to make the name work with umbrella, just couldn't find anything that really stuck or hadn't already been used, as is the craft brew nightmare right now. But every beer name's been used, apparently. But yeah, so I took it a totally different direction, and with my design background, being familiar with printing and colors and all that, I settled on CMYK, which, if you're not familiar with the term CMYK, it refers to the colors used in the process printing process, which would be cyan, magenta, yellow, and key. Key is otherwise known as black.
Oh, so that's where your name comes from.
Yes, that's why my last name is Keys. Yes.
Stage name.
Mm-hmm. But I thought there was a nice sort of relationship between, you know, taking those inks and printing to create every color under the rainbow, and, you know, taking a variety of hops and blending them together to create this beer that has this great, you know, spectrum of flavor. It just really made a lot of sense. But to get a little bit technical, yeah, so CMYK is what you would use in print. So those 4 inks blend together to make any color. You can also use spot colors, which is where your Pantones come into play, which is a very specific color of ink. So similar to if you were going to paint a wall in your house, you're not going to blend 4 different inks to make the color you want. You buy the color you want and paint it. That would be Pantone spot colors. And then RGB would be your screen colors. So a screen uses the colors red, green, and blue to create all of the colors in the spectrum.
So keep an eye out for Pantone IPA coming out.
Well, Pantone's a registered trademark, so probably not.
Keep an eye out for RGB.
There you go.
Yeah, if you ever look really closely at a screen, RGB. You see the little pixelated green, blue, and red. And I said that in the wrong. So this beer is available around Columbus, Ohio, Central Ohio, in kegs and cans. One of the faster selling beers that we've had in a while. I think it lasted about a week and a half wholesale. It went for sale early last week, and we got notice that we are sold out at the brewery for outside accounts. We still have it here on tap. We still have in six packs to go, but check out your local retailer or establishment. Hopefully they have it because this beer is delicious. So kind of go into, I know you highlighted some of the tasting notes. Justin, you guys want to go into the more specifics?
More in-depth tasting notes? Yeah, I mean, basically the flavor profile, kind of how I said earlier, it's everything under the sun as far as IPAs go. I unfortunately can't pinpoint it to one, but it does have like almost every hop flavor in one beer, which is kind of awesome. I think the ones that come mostly to the forefront, you're going to get a lot of that almost like tropical melon right up front. You get a little bit of citrus with it, but it kind of fades off into like a very resinous, like herbal finish, which is absolutely delicious in my opinion. So it's a light hazy gold in color. It's got a pretty quickly dissipating fluffy white head to it. But yeah, it's a pretty light bodied beer. Medium carbonation. I think the best way to put it, it's as close as you can get to a patio drinking Imperial IPA as you can make, where you can have a couple of them, and you might regret it afterward, but while they're going down smooth.
Yeah, I think if anyone follows Mike Tonsmeyer, soon to open his own brewery in the D.C. area, he refers to Simcoe, Mosaic, and Citra as cheater hops.
Yeah,
because it's like cheating, and that's basically this beer.
No, it is. It definitely is. So Batch 300 was Citra, Mosaic, and Matoika, right? So they are definitely hops that you can throw in with other complementary hops to make super tasty IPAs.
It is really cool that you can pick out the individual elements of each of those hops in this beer, but overall, they do contribute to something, you know, greater than their individuality.
Much like a printer.
Or something like that.
Oh, wow. Brought it all back.
Mm-hmm.
So, we talked about a taco and a chili earlier, but if you were here at Land Grant Brewing Company and we're looking something from Ray Ray's Hog Pit here on Thursdays through Sundays at the tap room. Coincidentally, as we were out building the fence, unfortunately, there were a couple folks that came down yesterday. Being Tuesday, and they were very disappointed that Ray Ray's was not open, as a lot of us are throughout the week. But come on down Thursday through Sunday. And what would you pick out from that selection?
Easy. Going with that. Going with the jerk chicken on this one.
It goes with the taco.
The taco that we selected this week was actually a jerk chicken taco. So yeah, no, jerk chicken. Just it's got that.
Leave the tortilla at home.
Yeah, you don't need that or that bun. Nah, you don't even need the bun. Nah,
don't need the bun.
Kick the bun to the curb.
Save the carbohydrates. You're drinking a beer with it, so just go straight for the meat.
Mm-hmm. Beer is bread. You're good to go.
Did I notice an uncomfortably long silence after you said the word jerk there? Who were you looking at exactly?
I was looking at you.
I thought you were.
The creepy eyes on the ceiling in the Kickstarter room. I just looked at him and just said, jerk, because they terrify me. Well, let's talk about shelf life.
All right.
Of hoppy
let's
beers.
Let's talk about shelf life.
Yeah.
Talk about shelf life.
Hey, we had a question this week, huh?
So, well, we do get a lot of questions about what is the shelf life of our beer and how do we determine that. And that is generally our rule of thumb here. It's 90 days on canned product. So when you look at your cans, we try to get at least four out of the six in the six pack to have a date code on the bottom. So it's an inexact science. If you look at the bottom and one of them is kind of smudged together, check out another can. But that is the date that we can that product. So add 90 days to that and you're going to be in good territory, not that the beer is going to make you sick or anything afterwards, but it's just not going to taste the way that we wanted it to taste.
Exactly.
And with super hoppy beers, it falls off really fast. I mean, yep. you would think on a really hop-centric beer, you'd want to drink that within 30 days to get the full effect of what was intended when brewing, but just know that it tapers off a little bit as it's been packaged in. And please enjoy our beers fresh, and any hop-centric beer fresh.
If you guys come down to the Landgraat University Hops 101 this weekend, you'll learn a little bit about the hops in general, but more specifically hop chemistry. And one of the things we'll slightly touch upon is the oxidization of hop oils and how they quickly dissipate when there is oxygen present. So if oxygen gets to your product, which it is something that is very difficult to get rid of completely, seeing how we breathe it and it is everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? Breathing it right now.
Yeah. No, it.
Hot take there.
It definitely has a negative effect on hoppy flavor and aroma.
So to that, let's say I'm at the grocery store and I'm picking up some beer, but I'm not going to drink it today. You know, I've always been told to buy it warm.
You should put
that. What's the truth?
If you can find it in your grocery store cold, specifically hoppy beers, buy it cold, get it home, put it in the fridge. That's going to slow down that process that oxygen has on hop oils. So highly recommended to keep your beer cold.
Yeah,
always.
I think that old wives' tale comes from if your beer goes from extreme temperature swings. Yeah. But in most grocery stores are kept at 55 degrees or so. So they're relatively cold, but we crash it cold once it's done fermenting. It's transferred cold. It's packaged cold. It's stored cold. It's delivered cold.
Coors Light.
Hopefully it'll go straight to the cold box, and that beer's going to slow down any sort of aging, and then it's going to taste the best.
So what we're saying is do not cellar an Imperial IPA. No. It is not a good idea.
I think the rate of chemical reaction doubles for every 10 degrees Celsius. So figure out whatever that is in Fahrenheit. So, yeah, basically you are rapidly deteriorating your fresh product.
You're kind of making a barley wine, though, aren't you?
It's gonna change. You're gonna lose that direct aromas and everything. I mean, and like we said, it's not gonna make you sick or anything. It's just not what the intended flavor profile of the beer was. Now, that doesn't go for the higher the beers that are higher maltier and especially higher in ABV. Those will age, and yep, you will get a lot. They may get better with age too.
It normally emphasizes that caramelly kind of flavor that you want in a big, heavy beer.
And yeah, darker beers with a lot of roast malts, a lot of tannins in them, can also benefit from some aging.
Yep. So we see that with like the Deep Search and even sometimes in Beard Crumbs. But if you ever do have any questions about, you know, you have a beer from us that you thought you might want to age, feel free to shoot us an email and ask us, because we're continuously testing those beers. We're putting them in our boiler room to put the most extreme conditions that beer may face. We do keep at least two cases from every batch that sits out. You might see it through the window in the Kickstarter room. You can see the shelf of product that we do test. All right, but we did actually get an email question. We've been the inbox has been a little silent, so if you do have any questions, email us at cheers@landgrantbrewing.com or check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/landgrantbrewingco. And then also, you could go to landgrantbrewing.com and submit a question from our contact page. But this week's question comes from Justin Reese. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. There are a couple consonants in a row, R-Y-S-Z. But his question is, how often do you go through the, quote, recipe graveyard? My wife will always ask me if Landgraat has Bay or Mr. Balloon Hands on tap. She is still looking for Ghidorah to come back. I'm sure there are some other fan favorites that people would love to see come back.
We've got Mr. Balloon Hands on tap right now.
So come on down.
Come on down.
Touching on the one of the other ones, Bay, I think we have tried to make that a kind of a small batch specialty beer that we just put out for Valentine's Day. but there may or may not be some in a barrel in the back that may or may not be released at some point here in the future.
So vague.
Remind us again, for those who might not know, what bay is.
What bay is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bay is a imperial porter that we actually brewed with lactose, chocolate, and raspberry. It is the epitome of a dessert beer. It's incredibly sweet. On the crushability scale, I think it's a negative one. There are a lot of people that have said that's a beer that they can drink 4 ounces of, but it's definitely not something you want a whole glass of, which I agree with. It's delicious. It tastes like candy. But you're asking for a stomachache if you have more than one of them.
It would be interesting to see what a barrel does to it, though.
I tasted it out of the barrel about, 2 weeks ago now, and it tastes like a boozy raspberry Tootsie Roll Pop. So,
interesting. Mm.
We shall see. When it is ready, it will be released upon the world. But until then, we will wait.
And as for Ghidorah.
Oh, that sounded ominous.
Yeah, Ghidorah. That was a Columbus craft beer collaboration.
The original.
The original one that we did with Four String and Sideswipe, and that was a peach saison that we did in Ghidorah, the three-headed monster. Was the name of it for a somewhat gentle beer as Godzilla. A peach saison, but it's a pretty good beer. We had a great time brewing with Four String and Sideswipe, and we'd do it again.
Yeah, so back when the first year of Columbus Craft Beer Week, we were all the Columbus breweries that participated were split up and did between 2 and 4 breweries, I believe, did different collaborations, got to choose their own style. So we chose a peach saison, and it was a really great experience, true collaboration. I don't know if everyone had the same experience as we did. So going into the second year and every year following, we've done a citywide collaboration, which is probably for the best. So there weren't so many just specific beers for Craft Beer Week. And this year's beer is Confluence, which we have on tap now at the tap room.
We just tapped it
and
today.
And our very own Walt Keyes designed the label, just like last year. And Confluence, what a great name for all the breweries coming together.
Just like the Sciota and the Olentangy coming together here downtown Columbus.
True story.
Wow. It's amazing. All right. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this episode this week of Land Grant University Presents Beers with the Brewers, talking about our Imperial IPA CMYK. Stay tuned. We're going to have another episode out this week on Tennis, our new IPA. And then next week, we'll be talking about everyone's favorite Czech Pilsner returning Pool Party.
Woo!
So, again, thanks for everyone for tuning in.
Pool Party.
Pool Party. I'm Adam, signing off.
I'm Justin.
I'm not Chris.
And I am Mark.
That's cool, man. That's real cool.
I'm Walt.
We'll see you all down here at 424 West Town Street. Make sure to tip your bartenders, everyone. Cheers.
Nick, what are your thoughts?
I enjoy the beer very much.